afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on February 18th, 2025. This meeting is being recorded, and the meeting audio, as usual, will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips. People who are joining through phone calls, you can press *6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing *9. Everybody who's on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you click on the raise hand icon, that will raise or lower your virtual hands. If people are able to use these tools, it would be helpful because then we know that somebody's trying to make a comment and we can have one speaker at a time. I would request everyone to please stay on mute unless speaking, because it helps us eliminate any external noise. And it helps people listen to the recording afterwards. As you know, we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this call. Therefore, when speaking, please state your name before your comments, because it helps the interpreters in doing their job well. It also helps people who are listening on the phone calls. And if anyone listens to the meeting recording, it also is helpful for them to know who the speakers were at the time. We also request people to describe themselves briefly when they initially speak. For instance, I'm a female Asian Indian. I wear reading glasses and I have long dark hair. So if you can just briefly describe yourselves, that's helpful. Chair Farmer, at this point, I can go ahead and read the agenda, and then I can follow up with the meeting roster for AAC members.
Yes, you may.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
There we go.
Okay. Welcome. All right. So before I start reading the agenda, I would share my screen. And once that's visible, if somebody can confirm, I will appreciate that.
I see it.
Okay, thank you. All right, so just like I said, after I finish reading the agenda, we will go through the roll call of the committee members. After that, Chair Semerford will go through review and approval of today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. We do have reports that includes accommodations and customer service and outreach, if any. Christian Blake, Vice President of Access Services, will provide an update about Metro Access Service. Mr. Blake will also provide an update about Abilities Ride, followed by an update on next generation van. At 5:30, we will begin the public comment section, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. I will stop sharing my screen now. And when I call out your names, please confirm your presence, and that's for the AAC members. Susan Bowmaster. Darnese Bush. Tino Calabria.
Tino.
Thank
present.
You. Thank you. Vanessa Coles. Eco Dancy.
Alert. Audio now unmuted. Zoom workplace. Miss meeting. Alert. Grover Parham has joined.
Okay, thank you, Vanessa.
I'm here.
Thank you, Rico. Juan Farmer.
Present.
Debbie Fisher. Marcy Goldstein. Steve Caffin. Thomas Mangrum. I just want to state for the record, Thomas Mangrum has informed that he may not be able to join a few meetings. Philippa Mizell.
Present.
Thank you. Cindy Newsell.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner. Sarah Roth.
Present.
Doris Ray. Denise Rush. Again, I just want to state for the record that Ms. Rush may not be able, has informed that she will not be able to join for a few meetings. Paul Semaphore.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan.
Yeah.
Thank you. Kelly Simonov. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. Chair Semaphore, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody, to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting. So first thing we're going to do is take a look at these full plate agenda. Are any additions, comments or additions to this agenda? Hearing the crickets, I would like to get a motion to move the agenda as is.
So moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions, the motion carries. We'll move forward with the meeting agenda as is. Next will be the minutes from last month's Metro Access Subcommittee meeting. Are there any additions or changes to the minutes or modifications? Hearing the crickets, can someone move forward a motion and second it to
move it forward?
All
seconded.
Right. Thank you. All those in favor to with the minutes, aye.
Aye.
Abstentions. Motion carries to accept the minutes from last month's subcommittee meeting. Thank you. All right. This brings us up to Ms. Allison Anderson and Company.
Good afternoon. My name is Allison Anderson with the Metro Access team. I am a Black middle-aged female wearing a black and white shirt today with twists as my hairstyle. At this time, I'd like to present Mr. Dolan Chittums with our performance assessment team to give the update from our last meeting as it relates to public comment. Dolan?
Good afternoon. My name is Dolan Chittums. I have long locks, African-American male with a gray shirt. So during the AAC meeting held on January 6, 2025, there were no outstanding public comments to be addressed. During the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting on January 21st, 2025, there were two outstanding public comments to be addressed. The first comment pertained to a customer's experience with a reservation agent who declined to book a trip. The customer service issue was investigated and the customer was informed of the findings and any corrective actions taken. The second comment involved a member reporting service issues that caused delays in his weekend trips. The concern was investigated and the customer has confirmed that the issue has been resolved. Now moving to the accommodations, there was a total of 382 accommodations for January 2025. Among the recipients, Central Avenue received 40, Challenger received 15, Transdev OCC received 140, Industrial Road received 23, Hubbard Road received 87, Westmore Avenue received 27, MTM received 3, Eligibility received 0, and Abilities Ride received a total of 47. And this concludes my report.
Hello. All right. I see. Before we give that hand, are there any outreach reports?
I would have to defer that to Mr. Blake. Mr. Blake?
And after that, we will take hands on all these reports. We have many questions. Go ahead, Mr. Blake.
There's a two-part. I think I announced them last month, so I won't belabor the point, but there were two meetings after the AAC meeting, one for a group in Fairfax and one for a group that I speak with on a regular basis in Prince George's County. But there's been nothing since that night of the meeting.
All right. Now, Sarah, did you have a question about all these reports to follow up with?
I did, and I probably should have asked this a month or two ago. As a new member, I am trying to figure out exactly what people are talking about when they say commendations and the different places that they're going to. I just wanted some basic background on how these things get reported and counted and that sort of stuff, just so I understand. That's it.
Okay, Mr. Chittums, you want to respond? Or Miss Anderson, one of the two.
I'll have Mr. Chittums provide the response, Dolan. All right. I don't know where he is, but I can go ahead. So how those come about is through our customers calling or sending by email or by letter. Their commendations to our customer service, WMATA customer service department. Those get logged into our system so that we have a record of those commendations and what the customers experienced they shared with us. Our performance assessment group takes those and they get in contact with our other contractor partners to deliver those commendations to the actual individuals that they were that were commended.
Okay, just so I understand a little bit better. So, if I had like a good ride or something, I might call up and say, "Hey, my driver did a great job," or they came on time, or are they solicited? Is there a phone number? Because I've just never, as a passenger, I've never seen anything about it. That's all.
Well, we have in our customer guide information as to how customers can deliver those commendations or as well as any reports about their experience. Obviously, we love to hear commendations from our customers to be able to pass along to our contractor partners to let them know that they're doing an excellent job and to keep it up. Of course, any experience, any reports that the customers may have about their experience, we definitely want to hear.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
And if I could just add, Mr. Chair, the reason why you're getting those reports because commendations are not, or it is not an official Metro Access statistic. But in your monthly reports, you do see the number and it's of complaints. And we track those, and that is an official stat. So all we're doing is while we officially submit to you and the public the complaints, and those are very important to look at and to look for trends and see the direction that's going. We think it's also important to hear how many people are also saying positive things about the service as well, even though that's not an official service metric.
That makes perfect sense. Are they listed sort of side by side somewhere? Or is it because I think I only hear the commendations. I don't remember hearing numbers about complaints, or did I just miss that?
No, the
Complaints
complaints
are
are in the
in
monthly report
your
that comes to the AAC and the AAC meeting materials. You may hear it like today referenced from time to time. So that's one statistic I will probably dovetail into as I open up the document as we talk to about our first subject, as Mr. Blake will begin, and then we have questions.
Okie doke. Thank you.
So, Mr. Blake, you are up first about, and of course, I know you have your staff on call here to kind of give an update with what's going on with our wonderful call center and their improvements in terms of customer service with Where's My Ride, with managing late trips and looking at the trends, and hopefully, well, look, let's steal your thunder. You go ahead.
You've given out my reports. I'll adjourn. No. We've seen some improvements steadily in the call center. We can start with the call center. The reservations have been doing quite well. The dispatch still has some work to do, and they're still continuing to add more and more staff on the dispatch side, and we're monitoring their hiring of staff very closely. And we've seen some positives overall with the phones, but it's primarily been on the reservation side. And we've seen some improvement on the dispatch side. Again, part of that improvement is due to hiring. Another part of that is as the service delivery improves, then the pressure on the call center begins to decrease a bit. So our big focus continues to be improving the service overall. And so as I move from the call center to service delivery, last month in January, on the computer you may see 90%. It's a flat 90, but we were actually like 89.6. I mean, it was very, very close. I mean, it could be either way. But that's an improvement, and we're moving in the right direction. And obviously, part of that is the fact that, as I pointed out, we brought a second provider on board to provide some additional support to the service. We were only under 90% last month because of two heavy snow days, and then one day, I think some of you experienced that we had a computer out, and that. We've got to just continue to do better on that. And we've been talking to internal and external partners related to our computer system to avoid that sort of inconvenience to our customers. But, and again, we don't pick and choose the good days and the bad days. But again, when I look at the overall picture, snow days plus a computer outage, I know otherwise we would have been over 90%, as I have been saying to you all, we're going to get back to. So this month we've been decent. I think as of today we're like 89.7. So that, and we've now finished the heaviest part of the month. So I'm expecting further improvements, but we'll see. And so overall, I think we're moving in the right direction. We had a tough 6 months, and we will always acknowledge that. But I think we're going to get back to normal really, really soon. My calls have dropped off a lot, and that's always an indication because any one customer, I always take that call as indicative of many others. But the number of calls coming to me have dropped a lot, at least related to the service. Now, customers who want all their trips on Uber, or customers who don't want to be on a van, longer than a fixed route equivalent trip, I still get those calls. But in terms of those really serious service related calls that I was getting in bunches during those 6 month period, those have dropped a lot, but it's not over just yet. So I think we're going in the right direction. And you and I, we watch the statistics every day, each day. I mean, you're looking at them, I'm looking at them. And so I'm available to answer any questions you or the committee may have.
So I'll start first, and I see Vanessa's hand going up, and Nu will help me keep track. So my first question to you is, as I look at the stats, and I will say, one who does test and call into the call center, there is steady positive progress going in into talking to the staff. It's a lot less of having to go through two or three people to get an issue resolved. It's gotten a lot better. There's still more work to be done, but a lot better with I'm only having to deal with one staff, or if I need to deal with a supervisor on something they could not answer, I get to that person without having to call you. So that's a major improvement. The level of professionalism that your staff has is a lot better. On the where's my ride side, I've noticed the quality. So whatever training you're doing is beginning to work. And hopefully it will stick for the long term. Like I would say, indicative of the reservations and those crew, whatever y'all program y'all got these reservations people on, I mean, the care, the understanding, it's beautiful. You want to keep that and keep that momentum going with them. And the same thing with this beginning to see the culture, of professionalism that I see. amongst that call center staff on the West My Ride side. That's beginning to show some. The efforts that you and your call center management staff has been doing is beginning to finally sink in, based on what you're saying. What I see from the statistics that Sarah's referring to, for instance, the complaints over the years, that has been under its norm. And then, of course, with the changeover, I still see it's down a little bit from the previous month, based on the data, by 1 percentage point. I believe it was like over 7%, and y'all were trying to get it under 5, and now it's at 6. So I just wanted to get an idea. We are able to categorize what types of complaints are still coming in. Is it the late trips, or maybe the top three categories that you're able to share as you're analyzing that data? I know, y'all been trying to doing some control with the peak hours, and I noticed the days when there's a power outage or something, that automated message, at least y'all communicating to us, there's that automated message saying, it's taking longer hold times, please hold, something to the effect, don't hang up, we'll get you in your order received. At least you're communicating that to acknowledge that the customers, that's positive. So they're not kind of annoyed and say, oh, it's peak hour, oh, I'm going to be sitting here waiting God knows how long. So I see what y'all doing, and I'm going to go. I see Vanessa, Philippa, and Marcy, and Anu. You'll help me keep track. So
Yes, I will.
Vanessa's first, and then Philippa, you're next. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Vanessa, you need to unmute yourself.
If
Perhaps she's having
not,
some
we'll go with
trouble.
Philippa, and we'll get back to Vanessa, and then after Philippa, maybe Vanessa, and then Marcy.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Oh, is
Wait,
she there?
I think
Oh.
okay, go ahead, Philippa.
Oh, okay. Okay. Good afternoon again. I was just going to say, and it's certainly not a complaint, but an observation of something that needs to be fixed. A lot of times when I book a round trip, I will get a two or three links for the trip going one way, but not the other way. And then when I call to Where's My Ride to get the link for whichever part of the trip I didn't get the link for, and I texted Mr. Blake on this at the time, the guy kept telling me that I had it. He's looking at it. I'm looking at the link. You've got both links in there. And, I say I don't have both links, and I've told him what I had. And then I texted Mr. Blake, but then I decided, because he told me he was a trainee, and I put his name in the text to Mr. Blake. I won't mention it here. But then I just decided to call back, and I got someone, and I told her what had happened. And she said, how is he going to tell you what you have when you're looking at it? And she gave me the link that I needed. So my observation here would be, please don't tell the customer they have what they're telling you they don't have. That's one thing. And then the other thing would be, how do we get around this always getting a link for one direction on the trip or three links for the same direction on the trip, but not the other direction? Last couple of times have been fine, but two or three before that, I have to check it all the time just to be sure I have both a two-way link. I mean, a link for each direction. Thank you.
Now, Mr. Blake, on that same subject, let me add in. There's been days I see, okay, for one who uses Uber every other day, there are days that the links do come in. Then there's the trips I can see on the app that are coming in, that says Uber overnight, so I'm expecting the link. Sometimes that works, and sometimes I think there's still a technical issue with Uber pushing it out the night before. On the same day of a service, if they're moving trips, I see them move it to Uber, but they don't send the link. And when I do call in to get it, it seems like when they, if they say send me the, when I tell them send me the link, I don't get it, but it seems to work when they just start the trip, when I say I'm ready. So I'm wondering, is it a combination of a technical issue still with Uber that you alluded to when you had the Uber person here to talk about it, or is it human error? That's and I sent you a text about that. So as you're answering that same type of
So
response.
before I go, as you requested, I brought Kevin from Uber back on tonight. Now, let's just go back to Filippo before we go to Kevin on this one. Receiving multiple links of the same trip, but not of the of one half or the other of the round trip, is not a issue that's been reported widely to me. So
Alert.
we'll have to
Audio
look at
now
that.
unmuted.
But
Space.
you're right. If you're telling the person, I don't have the link, whether you have it or not, if you don't believe you have it, no one should tell you you have it. What that person was looking at is that the trip, if I go into Uber Central, I will see that we have sent you the trip. But there have been cases where a person has one but not the other, but multiple of one and not the other. That's a little different, but the point is, if just because I can see it in Uber Central doesn't mean that it actually made it to your phone. And our staff or their staff, the call center staff needs to understand that, and we'll always add that to the compassionate side of communicating with customers via text or by phone. Customer tells you they don't have it,
Yeah, because
it
when I
is
text them, they
sent.
say, "Oh, link sent," and then it's like, "Oh, okay." And I think it's a mix either of human error or still technical error with Uber. It's just trying to pinpoint as I'm going
We
through
can
and
check
taking
it
data
in
on it.
sometimes.
Yeah.
It could be human, yes. It could be Uber. Sometimes it's the phone network and the phone that the customer is on as well. I mean, there's a whole range of reasons. I know there's certainly customers who, what I know, she's probably on tonight, but I won't call her name. But for whatever reason, the phone just won't take a text message. Sometimes we block it by accident. There are customers who've done that. So there could be a handful of reasons why a customer doesn't receive the link for an Uber trip. But the main issue and the main solution is to let us know. And we can either activate the trip when you're ready to go, or if you want the link ahead of time, send a text or make a phone call. And again, there should be no debate whether or not the customer has it. If they want another link, it's the same trip. Go ahead and send them the link. That would be my instruction moving forward. And I see Grover on here, so I'm sure that's going to get translated as well. Well,
Yeah,
before we
and
go to
like I
some
said,
more.
I'm there, good at activating. When I say activate it,
Oh,
that seems to happen. But
good.
sending it, that's where we get into that 50-50. So let's go with Vanessa and then with Marcy. Go ahead, Vanessa. Are you able to unmute yourself?
Alert.
There we
Audio
go.
now muted.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay. I'm sorry. Thank you. Well, I was just wanted to make a comment. This happened just earlier today. Most of the time I have a subscription trip, so I don't have to call in reservations, but on occasions that I do, they have not been good experiences. Even today, I don't know about the attitude in the office of what it is, but the reservations, in my opinion, they have attitude problems. And even today, the lady, I was trying to find out what was going on with the way a trip had been reserved through the system. And she was so short-tempered with me. She gave me to the to dispatch supervisor. I didn't even ask for it. She didn't want to deal with me, so she just transferred me to, and that took 15 minutes. And when she answered, she wanted to put me on hold again until I said, wait a minute, I just held on for 15 minutes. You answered, and now you want to put me on hold again. I just don't know what's going on in that reservations. I don't have to call it often because, like I said, I get subscription trips, but on the occasions that I do, they have not been a good experience. So, in my opinion, I don't see an improvement in reservations. It's either their camaraderie or there's something going on. They're not happy. They don't smile when they talk to you. I don't see an improvement. That's just my opinion.
And I thank you for that, because there's staff on here who's probably taking conspicuous notes and probably will probably contact you to ask for some dates and times to listen in on that, because we definitely want to take some corrective action on that, on those experiences to make sure they are minimized.
Right, and she said one call was today, so we'll go back and listen to her call today to reservation, identify the agent, listen to the dialogue, and we'll follow up based on what we hear on that phone call.
Alert. Audio now
Thank
unmuted.
you. I suggested that to the supervisor, and I explained to her. She was very understanding, and she did say she was going to listen to the conversation as well. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, Marcy.
Okay. I took your advice, Kristen, and I called to book my ride, but unfortunately, the person that was helping me on the number of occasions kept saying, "I don't understand you. I don't understand you. Oh, geez, representative trained that everybody doesn't have perfect speech." Kristen.
Well, we'll get your trip booked because obviously I understand. Yeah, we had a nice long conversation. We're going to work on this matter with some of our agents, but we'll get your trip booked for tomorrow. We'll
I'm
do everything.
booked now. I'm booked now,
Oh,
Kristen.
you're booked now. Okay.
It took a long time because on the number of occasions I had to repeat the whole thing.
Okay, so your trip is booked for tomorrow
Yeah.
with the 2-hour ride that you were talking to me about, right?
Now it's different because another agent and you get a different story.
Okay. All right, but we're still gonna watch it. Again, I just don't want you to be late, and I don't want to forecast ridership. Will your trip likely be a direct trip? It very well could be, but we are a fixed ride equivalent service, so I want you to make sure you get to the event you were talking about on time. So let's,
Okay,
yeah, follow
thank
the,
you.
yes, ma'am, follow the appointment time on this one.
Okay,
Now,
thank you.
what I will say as we talk about reservations, one of the points maybe is staff is listening on this call in the call center. Take back as a training point what I've, because I do a combination of online but also call on the phone. So I make sure I get the customer experience. While most of them have been pleasant, the ones, and it's important to people when someone tell you, front entrance of such and such building or the name of the location. And please put it in the comments, because the ones I know listen, repeat it back to me. And then the others, they say front entrance. I said, did you get the front entrance of this school or that school? And that becomes a frustrating thing dealing with that person when they don't properly listen to you and repeat it back. And that's my 2 cents. Next person.
Well, I see some hands up before we go to, I see some hands up. Well, Marcy spoke, but we see Terrian and Grover want to chime in here.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. My name is Terrian Williams Hall. I am an African American female, middle age. That's it. Okay, so what I want to comment on really quick is, Ms. Goldstein, you are absolutely right. A lot of the agents, this is a new vendor, I remind everybody, they do not have solid sensitivity skills. So I am pleased to announce a recent partnership with Easter Seals. They are coming in within the next 2 weeks, and we will be providing sensitivity training to all of those agents. So hopefully, in short order, you will have a different experience with regard to their sensitivity.
Thank you.
Thank you. Grover?
Can I talk? I'm not. I'm on the landline, so I'm legally blind. My name is Margaret Nanji. Thank you for all the work you all are doing. Oh. I'm calling to say, according to what the lady just spoke about the ride this morning, my ride was booked to go to Edward Street, 1901, and when the driver was taking us somewhere else, so thank God my PCA saw it. So where are you going? They say Irving Street. I said, no, I'm going to Evert Street, not Irving Street. So he said I should call the dispatcher to correct it so that my next trip, my return trip, will not be taken away from me because they will go and look for me at Irving Street. So I called and that one was fixed because when I was talking to the dispatcher, I mean to the reservator, I told her that, look, it's Evert and I spell it out. So she mistakenly put Irving Street, 1901 Northeast, which was wrong. That one is being settled. Then number two, thank you, Mr. Blake, for what you did because when I used to call and do reservation, they would send me a van that I need to climb on a stool to enter into that van. So that last day when I called Mr. Blake, I almost break my foot and the driver did not have no stool. So I said, no, I can't take this. I was not trained by what Metro Access to climb on a stool to get in a van. I was trained on the steps or a lift because I'm legally blind. Though I have a walker and a white cane because I have a knee, I tried this on my knees and stuff. I'm legally blind. So, but I thank God that when I called Mr. Blake, he corrected it. So all these days, I'm so glad that if it's not the van, it's the car. So I thank God for that. Thank you all so much.
All right.
I accept that.
Thank you. Any other committee members? I do remind members of the public, we do have public comment period on this topic here. Any other committee members? If not, Mr. Blake, we can go on to the next one.
I have one. This is Grover had his hand up. I think he wanted to make some comments. Rico, are you trying to make comments?
Just for Ms. Goldstein, well, before we left that topic. I wanted to confirm that you had that phone interaction today. Is that correct?
Yes, it was right around 4:30
this afternoon. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, Rico, go ahead.
So last Saturday, Metro Access picked me up from my job, took me from my job to the gas station, from the gas station to the mall, from the mall to my house. Can someone explain to me why I was going to the gas station? He asked me how to get to this place. I said, sir, I'm a Metro Access user. He took me, he picked me up at 2:30. I didn't get home to 4:50, almost 5 o'clock.
Okay. This was the trip the other day, correct? Or are you saying this?
It was last Saturday. I reported.
So yeah, I'm still trying to get the video of it because I want to see why did he go in the gas station? Now, drivers are not supposed to ask for directions from customers. And a lot of times, customers like to volunteer directions. So I'm not sure why the operator would ask you for directions. But in terms of going in the gas station, I have to find out about that. In terms of going to the mall, obviously, there could have been another pickup. Could have been a no-show. There are a lot of different, I don't want to speculate what, or he could have, trying to get the last Black Friday special or something. I mean, who knows what was going on? I'm looking into it. I did check your fixed route equivalent time, and that trip was longer than it should have been according to the record. So I just ask you to be patient with me. Let me get the rest of the information I need so I can have a firm conclusion and know what to do with the individual involved.
Okay. If the phone not are fixed yet,
yes, that was one day, and I'm thinking, I appreciate you texting me that morning. Yes, our phone lines went out. I want to say, was that Thursday morning? That might have been Thursday morning. We had for a few hours. Oh, that was Monday. Man, my week is going by. Oh, goodness, that was that
Full
close. But
speech.
that was Monday morning. You're right. I'm sorry. So
Alert.
we had a phone
Press
line
alt to
again. I
escape.
think you wrote me at 4:30 in the morning. I
Alert.
think it was
Hand
finally
now raised.
resumed
Press F.
about 6:30, maybe 7 o'clock. The team was working really hard on it. My understanding it wasn't just, I know this doesn't, make it better for the customers, but this wasn't just the Metro Access phone line. There were problems somewhere in this area. But again, our team worked very hard to resolve the situation on our end. And I will say that service kept running. I know it's a little challenging when you can't reach anybody to know where your vehicle may be at, but we did keep running the service that morning. However, yeah, for a few hours, there was no, I want to say inbound calls, right? Nobody could call in, but
Yeah, because when you call them, they give you a business
it
signal.
was a fast, busy signal. Yes, sir. So I appreciate you texting me. That was like my alarm that morning, and the team was already hard at work on trying to resolve the issue.
Thank you so much.
All right. There no other questions. I do want to get to ability drive
Chair Samuel,
discussion.
this is Anna.
Yeah.
Vanessa
Yep.
has raised her hand.
Vanessa, since you spoke before, we do want to get to the next topic here.
Okay.
We want to get, we can save it for customer comment period.
All right. So Vanessa, we can take your
Alt
comments
space,
during the next.
menu.
So I just want to get through this agenda here. It's already 4:45, and I know ability drive is the next big topic. And I know we had Mr. Blake a circulating email from one of our committee members. And just to get an update on abilities by providers, and in light of that email about the possible FTA change, I don't know what WMATA's position is on it and where we stand and how things look. But I'm gonna let you go ahead with that.
Yeah, so we don't have any new updates in terms of ability ride providers. We're still offering customers a chance to win the lottery each day and get to utilize an alternative service. I can add a little bit about the letter or the news story that many of you have read, and it's a discussion really all across the country. And that is the FTA is looking at how transit agencies partner with companies like Uber and Lyft in particular, and whether or not those companies should fall under a taxi cab exemption or should be required to be subject to the drug and alcohol testing as though they were a public transit service. So the way we created the Abilities Ride program took into consideration regulations, took into consideration all the FTA rulings and guidelines. We've always felt that the Abilities Ride program was within the spirit of the guidelines. FTA is looking at changing that. Could they? Well, any change could have an impact. I think that was the question in the email. Could this have an impact on the Abilities Ride program and folks like yourself, Vanessa, everyone using Uber and taxis? And the answer is absolutely yes. That is definitely a possibility. So, Philippa, if you don't get any more Uber trips, it's not because I'm no longer a Kansas City fan after y'all lost the Super Bowl.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. So, but here's where we've been. We've been very quiet on this. This has been going on for over a year, but we created the Abilities Ride program. Customers are happy. We believe, I mean, there's always other ideas out there in the world. But the way the Abilities Ride program has evolved, we believe it is one of the most successful programs in keeping with the spirit of the ADA, which is mainstreaming people with disabilities where and where they can be mainstreamed as long as barriers are removed, and not just simply keeping people on a service designated for a particular group of people, i.e., people with disabilities and paratransit service. You've always heard me say it's the safety net. That's the way we've treated paratransit. And with over the last 5 years, more than 2 million trips have been used by Metro Access customers on these other services that are regulated for their safety and other forms of compliance. We think we created, and we have a very good pro person, pro customer, pro people. FTA may have a different opinion on it. So we may now issue some comments. We may or may not. I will just say this, members of the AAC, you've always heard me say advocate. Even when it was quote unquote mess, you know, kind of against, not me personally, I don't take this stuff personal, but it would look, you know, maybe some negativity come upon me. I've always said advocate for what you want. Rico is a great example. He's going to continue to push for that discount fare card. I know you are, and I respect that. You know, we've taken a sort of different approach as to the discount. We like the discount on these other programs. But the point is, if you believe in mainstreaming, if you believe in having barriers removed, if you believe in people with disabilities being incentivized to use services that the general public use while having a safety net for those trips when absolutely needed, perhaps you want to offer your voice to this conversation. Again, WMATA, we're taking a more deliberate, strategic approach to this. But as the FTA gets closer and closer to impacting what we believe has been a very successful program, you may hear or read about some official position taken by WMATA. But right now, we're just evaluating, we're watching, we're communicating with our colleagues in the industry. And I'll tell you this, I have no intention of letting the FTA, I shouldn't say FTA, I have no intention of letting the Abilities Ride program go without a fight. This has been a labor of love. It's from a lessons we learned in MTA in Baltimore, learned from others elsewhere. And through our partnership with this committee and members of this committee in the community, especially those of you with low vision and other visual disabilities, to make sure that this program was highly accessible. We're not going to give it up without a fight. I can tell you that much. So that's as much as I probably want to say right now. I can answer any questions, but the Abilities Ride is moving forward. We're going to continue to offer you alternatives to paratransit and mainstream you into the transportation network. And we'll deal with the regulatory stuff in a sort of piecemeal way.
So my questions are the different questions. So first, I know typically because they talk about, you know, the requirements of taxi drivers going through, you know, drug and alcohol testing. My presumption is already some of the abilities like providers of the 14, some of the taxi cab companies, if not all of them, they probably already meet those requirements anyway. So that it probably in those respects. And you serve in particular, I called them out because it said it, they already meet those
Thanks requirements. Again. Me too.
And some
Thank you very much. You do the same.
Now, some of the other providers we're more worried about, of which has been part of the Abilities Ride, even though Metro Access is a safety net, like Uber, is a big question mark, and that's been for people who choose to use it, who are appropriate for it, because it's not for everyone and not for every customer, but for people like me who love it, we would like to see it continue, because that's the more precarious beast when it comes to that, because they have a different opinion of how they look at their business model and doing that. But it is a wonderful service. I'd like to continue. Well, y'all probably consider, like it said in that article, you know, depending on, because I know you can't speculate, Uber can't speculate until the FTA makes a decision at some point soon. You know, depending on where Uber goes with this, when the FTA makes its decision, finally, you know, will you consider the old days of, you know, giving us a voucher and then book an option to book on that service if we hit a lottery or some set of that where we still have some relationship with Uber, depending on the outcome? and therefore other providers who may not fall under those regulations if they pan out like they do.
So to your first question, from my view of things and discussions and understanding, right now the only company that could not or is not, or I will say would not be part of that drug and alcohol testing would be Uber. All the other companies in the Abilities Ride program, being that they're primarily local, and that would not be a problem. So that's one piece of this. So some form of Abilities Ride will continue no matter what. But again, we believe in the overall principle. The voucher, I'm not ruling anything out or in, because at the end of the day, it may not be my decision. We didn't create.
I know y'all offered that beforehand when it began with Billy's Ride in a certain fashion, but that's a different story. I'm wondering if you might be going back.
Voucher, without going too deep into it, and you know how I get sometimes, it's not necessarily my favorite.
Because I remember experiencing that with the taxi.
Right. Yeah, that's not necessarily my favorite approach to this concept. I think we have more software related solutions before we have to go to a voucher, and I've been testing and playing around with it. So what you said early, I think, is the philosophical point, and it's the reality. You're the customer. You and others who feel like you do may just want to say it. I mean, and that's a good thing, and give that experience that you've had on this program. In terms of the technicals and how we would actually keep this going, there's a lot of opportunities and a lot of different directions we can go. I don't want to necessarily go through all of them right here. Voucher can be a part of it, but it's not really my favorite solution, to be honest with you.
Because I know we went through that before in a certain form with taxis.
Right. So that's an option, but it's way... It's way down the list. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. All right. Other committee members, as they can. Oh, so as we talk about bills, right, and I think just to bring back with Uber, so there's been, so because I know we started with, you know, trips that are designated for the next day. I can see them on the My Transit app, and those are the ones they begin to spit out. So feedback from that has been, that's been going good. Most trips do pop up the night before. However, there has been, on some rare occasions, I've gotten links where I know two trips are destined for Uber the night before. They're already pre-assigned. I get links, but the links are totally to two destinations that were not the two that were intended. So, and it was like, one was like an intersection at my street going somewhere southwest DC, and I'm going from home to Virginia. And I just, you know, beyond that, that's been weird. Or sometimes there's been rare occasions with those trips the night before, the link don't come in, but most of them have come in. It was pre-assigned. I just wanted to give that assessment of what I've seen so far when you made that change, after asking customer feedback at the last subcommittee meeting.
Thank you for that. I see Vanessa has a question, and I think that's all I have on Abilities Ride, but I can answer.
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
Yes, thank you. This is Vanessa. Can I go?
Yep, you can go.
Okay, my question was actually an ability question, Mr. Blake, know what happened over the weekend. I was traveling. So I wanted to know, what is the process for, if you were to leave something on an Uber vehicle, of trying to retrieve it? Because even though I did retrieve my item, Mr. Blake, it was not on the Uber. I'm curious to know what would be the process for trying to get in touch with the driver.
Yes. So what you did by calling me, which is always good to do, what would happen is, let's say I'm not around, you would call the Metro Access call center. You call, "Where's my ride?" And the sooner you can do it, the better. Mm-hmm. And what would happen is they would go in, and because all I did is go into the system, report a lost item, and I put your phone number in there, and then Uber connects you and the driver, or at least it attempts to. Now, I didn't hear back from you, so I assume after we got off the phone, did the phone call go through and you actually talked to the driver?
No, I texted you back and gave you my telephone number. But what I was able to do, because I flipped through and I seen contact the driver, so I was still able to send a message to that person, but he never responded.
Oh, okay. Well, we gotta follow up on that then. We'll talk about that after the fact. But yes, there's a report lost item function or feature, and basically what it is Uber calls your number, Uber calls the driver, and there's an attempt to meet up to retrieve the lost item.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Samuel Ford, this is Anu.
Yep.
Sarah Rod had raised her hand, but she lowered it, so I'm not sure if Sarah still has a question.
Sarah, did you have a question as it relates to abilities-wise? Because I know you gave some feedback on that email about that whole issue. And Mr. Blake, as I heard so far, depending on what's going on with this whole issue, we still are thanking you for having this at a nominal charge of, you know, as a promotion. And that will probably might change at the time of changing budget year. Do we see that possibly sunsetting in this year at the end of June, or maybe it might go another extra year? We don't know. I'm just getting the idea out of you. You know, I try to ask every time, but we appreciate it. So
no, yeah. The fiscal year ends in June, but right now there is no plan to raise the fare on the abilities ride trips just yet. Again, this, even though we've been doing this now 5 years, and like I said, nearly 2 million trips, it's still relatively new. As you can see, we pass, and I just want to make it clear on the record for those of us, the abilities ride program in WMATA has passed several FTA audits where they've looked at this program, seen how we book the trips, seen how we select the trips. We've gone through all of that. There's new interpretation. We will see how far that goes. But again, this doesn't just impact WMATA, it impacts the industry. And right now we're just continuing our approach of a discounted program that effectively mainstream transportation for people with disabilities. To my opinion, more than just about anything else, other than fixed route services itself. So that's where we're going to continue to push. Right now, fares are not our focus at this time. So you probably will get at least another year. How's that?
And I hope Uber's part of the equation, because while other providers pick up from different regions, Uber has the most flexibility in terms of time of pickup, which is 24/7, if you get it by lottery or late trip or one of the conditions stated. And, you know, I'm just putting that big push. You know, it was good in, you know, during inclement weather, you know, as a standby. While it's not, you don't want to call it a safety net, it is an option for those who are able and want to use it. And it has a lot of flexibility for those who are able and want to use it. And it's been a very integral part because of some of that flexibility that it offers, and you're able to take it from anywhere in the whole Metro Access region.
Well, I agree, and I'm not certainly no salesperson for Uber, but that snow day, Uber was extremely, and I shouldn't be surprised, but yeah, I was quite surprised at how effective they were in complementing our dedicated paratransit services.
Hi, this is Sarah. This is Sarah. I just wanted to say that you had, Paul, you had asked the same questions I was going to ask. That's why I lowered my hand. So, done.
All right. But yeah, because like I said, Uber's not the be all end all, but you know, you have the other bills, the right providers. But like I said, Uber, you know, offers a certain type of 24-hour flexibility that some of the taxis don't. And it helps in situations where you have inclement weather, where certain entities may not have the capacity to pick up customers and try to get customers picked up on time in their windows, especially under those conditions, to get to their critical trips during those type of weather conditions. It's very helpful to have this program and to have them picked up on time. It's very helpful. And we want to keep all components of that program as much as possible as we navigate these waters.
I'm with you, and again, your advocacy, I've never been one to tell you who or what to advocate for or what you should not. I've always kind of given you all the respect and dignity that you all are an independent board, and you all are individuals as well. There is an opportunity for you to make comments. You don't need to leave the guidance of Metro on that, and I think the voice of the customer is important in this process.
Oh, yeah. All right, Anu, is there anyone else on this topic with their raised hand?
Chair Samuelford, we don't have any additional hands up for this topic.
All right, so next, we're going to have our next topic about the van update. And Tawan, I'm going to have you take over the meeting for just about 5 minutes as I need to step off and come back on. Are you there, Tawan?
Okay, we'll manage. If you need, that's no problem.
All right.
I think Juan might be here. But...
All right, so you can go ahead with the next topic. I'll be right back.
And this would be real quick. This is the update of the next generation van that some of you came out to the Hubbard Road base to look at, and you provided valuable feedback. And so on... Help me out, Jerry. Was it Monday or is it next? What day? I think it said next Monday. It was next Monday.
Yes, sir.
We're gonna send out a note to everybody on the committee that next Monday we want to have another demonstration of the next generation van. This van you're gonna see. One of the seats has been removed to offer a storage location on the top left on the passenger side, so and it gives that last seat all the way in the back a more leg room for customers to use. And also we're going to demonstrate the securement of the two wheelchairs at on the vehicle secured at the same time. So you'll get an email from Anu or myself, but probably Anu, inviting you to this demonstration next Monday. We'll find a time. I don't think we've set the time yet. We finally know that the vehicle is ready to go and that drivers are being trained. So that's why we want to bring you in, get one final look. If there's something that really, really needs to change, we still can do that. But we think we took all your information in and we made the adjustments, and we wanted to show it to you before you see any of these new school buses on the road with the Metro logo and design, art design. But we're really proud of the vehicle. Glenn Millis and Jim Hancock and others worked very, very hard in designing that vehicle. Yes, it looks a little boxy, old fashioned, but you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's cute. The key is it provides space and it provides the comfort that those other lift vehicles that many of you call the cargo vans that we converted for paratransit, and how discomforting those sitting in those vehicles were. And so that you're going to have a much more pleasant ride while you, Marcy, and Rico, and others sit on the vehicle for 2 hours coming from your trips. No, we don't want you on there that long, but that is fixed ride equivalency. Tarian, you want to comment on the vehicle?
Not the vehicle. I wanted to take an opportunity to invite them to the new call center. So,
oh, yeah, that too. Yeah, that's another one. Yeah, tell them about it.
So, yes, our reservations team has moved into a brand new call center not far from the new Carrollton office. And because the committee has not visited one of our locations in several years, we want to extend an invitation to you to join us for an open house that they're going to host for us in March. I believe the date, Grover, if you can keep me honest here, I believe the date is March 13th.
That Friday?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, March 13th at 2 p.m. And we'll partner with the new to send out a formal invitation.
I'm sorry, is this for the general public or just for the committee members?
I believe just for the committee members. Is that right, Mr. Blake? Yes, just the committee members.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
No worries.
Okay, and on that note, I would say if any of the AAC members have any questions or comments, please let us know now before we go into public comments.
This is Sandy. I think it's Thursday, March 13th, and Friday, March 14th.
Tuesday, March 13th is Thursday, yeah. Go ahead.
That is correct.
So which day are we talking about?
So, Sandy, I will get information from Ms. Williams Hall and Mr. Blake, and I will send out the email with the invites.
Thank you. I do believe it's that Friday, the 14th, but to a news point, we will send out a formal notification and invitation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I guess we have no other questions or comments. So thank you, Terri-Ann and Mr. Blake, for that information. And we will jump right into public comments. Before we start public comments, I just want to state that any members of the public, if you do have any public comments, you can surely raise your hands. If you're on phones, you can press *9. If you are on video conference, you can press the raise hand icon. And if any member would like to send me a message on chat, please do, so that we can take the members of the public in the order we receive their notifications. Each member will have 2 minutes to speak, and we are practicing this to make sure that if we have numerous people to speak, everybody gets an opportunity to do so. Okay. I'm not seeing any members of the public with their hands up or any comments in the chat. And I just want to state for the record that we did not receive any emails for public comments either. Okay, I see somebody on phone ending, the last four numbers are 1715. Go ahead and unmute yourself and make your comments. And then I see Janice Samuel. So I think it's Margaret Manji. You spoke earlier. If you'd like to make some comments, please unmute yourself. There you go.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, sorry. Yes, my name is Margaret Manji. I just want to thank you all for the committee and thank Mr. Blake most especially, and to also say once we call and once we give a complaint, you know, the amount of time they used to put everything in place is really automatic. And I thank God, I thank you all for doing this good work. Because sometimes when we complain and then they take a longer time for it to resolve, but nowadays things are resolving and we are getting better and better. And I'm so thankful for all you all. Mostly Mr. Blake was there to receive all our complaints and help all of us. So thank you.
Okay, well, thank you for your comments. Janice, go ahead.
Thank you, Anu. I am remiss that I don't call in with accommodations as often as I receive good service. So I want to begin with that. But I also wanted to ask if we can be provided with any updated information. I know there are probably privacy elements to the story that was broadcast last month about the woman who was denied access onto a van, who's in a wheelchair, and then she wasn't escorted back to her door, and then she fell over in the snow when she was trying to ring a doorbell. Is there anything that we can be provided to how that whole thing was resolved with Metro Access?
Well, what I could share with you is that the operator should have stayed and waited until he received clearance from the call center to move on, or would receive some support from a road supervisor. I know the operator did leave. When he left, the operator saw the customer at their door. And even if a customer can make it to the door, if we don't provide the trip, the driver still should wait. So that's the extent as we won't
Okay.
talk about publicly, but we
Well,
do
thank you.
provide,
That
we do provide door-to-door service when there is snow and ice on the ground, because you hear me say it. Well, I won't say y'all, won't presume you, but to customers, when we have weather events, you've been getting these robocalls from me. For a couple of years, we didn't have any snow in this area, so y'all didn't get any robocalls. But I think you've been hearing some robocalls recently. And we always say, based on the weather conditions, some streets or sidewalks, the service may be impacted. That means there's some streets we may not be able to come down to pick you up. Or if you're at a sidewalk and there's ice and then snow on the ground, we may not be able to provide door-to-door service. But in those cases, we do have a protocol, and we like the operators to report certain things. And just a matter of waiting a few minutes may not have stopped what was reported, and I'll put it that way, but we have protocol. Let's just put it that way. And there are certain situations, but that's why anytime there's a snow, if you hear us, well, anytime there's a snow, whether you get a robocall or not, if the sidewalk isn't clear, if your walkway isn't clear, it may be door-to-door service, and excuse me, it may be curb-to-curb service and not door-to-door.
Well, thank you, Mr. Blake, because we're always talking about what Metro Access, did or didn't do, and I think it's just as important that riders understand protocols and so that they know how things should operate. So I think that's just as important. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Janice. this is Anu. I am not seeing any additional hands up for public comments. Paul Summerford had to drop off for a minute, and at this point, I'm not seeing the second vice chair on this meeting either. Pat Sheehan, as the AAC chair, I would ask if you have any other business to discuss.
Well, I can certainly, we don't have any more hands. I think you have an announcement to make anew, and then I can adjourn the meeting.
Okay.
Actually, this is Sandy. I can never find the hand raising button. Can I ask Mr. Blake a question?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Blake, I feel like I've seen two different stories about how an address that we put into web booking or put into the call center for a ride gets transmitted to Abilities Ride. Well, I'm a little confused. So you were explaining to me that the actual address that we put into the web booking is what gets transmitted to Uber. But where I get confused is that I've heard you say that Uber uses geopositioning, geolocation to find an address or to find a location to drop us off. Am I correct that there's some sort of disconnect there? That
Well, it's, I won't say it's a disconnect. I think Uber would tell you they're being as accurate as possible using longitude and latitude. And then I know a week and a half ago there was an update of some kind. They've always used longitude and latitude. We've always had to send that to them. Something changed even more a little last week, and not just you, but I don't want to over exaggerate, but I received hundreds of calls of incorrect addresses, and I was rebooking a lot of trips. I know members of the call center were rebooking a lot of trips. So we had a talk with Uber, and Uber has, at least for us, not necessarily all across the country, but at least for our customers, if they receive any trips from Metro Access, they're using the exact address and no longer using the latitude and longitude to estimate the pickup and drop-off location, but they're using the exact written address as transmitted to them. Now, let me make it clear now, just so we know, and any one incorrect address can be troubling and can create problems. I mean, let's not make, I don't want to make it sound like I'm making light of this. But again, out of, if we've done nearly 2 million trips on this program, probably 600,000 to 700,000 of them have been on or through Uber. And the vast, vast majority of them have been accurately picked up, accurately dropped off through the longitude-latitude approach. So they know what they're doing in that regard, but something changed where the error rate, if you will, for lack of a better word, spiked incredibly. So we're going to go with just the address, and that's how the other providers under this program book trips. And that's what we've asked Uber to do, to at least try to eliminate the situation. And I would just say that since this change was made, which I believe took place on Saturday, I haven't received any more calls about incorrect addresses. I'm not saying there are not any out there, but the number of calls I received have really gone away compared to the week before.
Okay, that is excellent. Thank you for that explanation.
I just wanted to say, Christian, thank you for that. I don't think I could have said it any better myself. Why don't you
tell them who you are?
That's right. So good afternoon, everyone. My name is Kevin Hackshaw, black male, dreadlocks, blue check shirt. I am a senior customer success manager at Uber. I was at a meeting, I believe it was either November's AAC meeting.
Access meeting. Yes, I remember you, sir.
Yes, good. Thank you. I remember you, Paul, because I remember you. You were very active and very vocal. So yes. In a nutshell, we use the addresses as the primary point of contact for pickups and drop-offs. We use latitude, longitude as the secondary. And occasionally when there's an address in there that the system is not 100% sure of, it pings the latitude, longitude. For whatever reason, and we're still trying to investigate why, the latitude and longitudes were off. And so we have reverted over the weekend, as Christian said. On Saturday, we are just using the addresses, and as far as we can tell right now, knock wood, we are not having that issue where it's pinging off of latitude, longitude. So we're going to continue doing that for foreseeable future unless we have other issues. So again, Christian handled it great. I just wanted to say thank you for, you did it as well as I could have. So I appreciate that. So thank you.
Okay. Susan, Philippa, I see your hand is up. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say praise the Lord for the change.
Okay.
All right, Anu, I'm back. Let's see where we're at right now.
So actually, we even went through the public comments.
Okay. Yes.
Not too many today. Pat just raised his hand. Pat, go ahead.
I almost tried to adjourn the meeting without you, Paul.
Oh,
this is Pat.
Excuse me.
Oh my God.
You know how I like to take over.
Can anyone hear me? I must be still muted. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh. Okay. This is Alfreda McKinley, and I've been listening since the meeting started, all right? And I've listened to everybody's comments, especially about Uber. And one of the things that Uber doesn't do the way they should, we give our phone numbers so that they can contact us. Very rarely do they do that. Me, I contact them. Sometimes they'll answer the phone, and sometimes they won't. Sometimes I'll call two or three times, mainly because their bearings are completely off. They don't know where they're going. And I try to stay in touch so I can tell them where they're going, especially when I am in College Park, Maryland. I don't know if they don't see the addresses or don't know, but I do know that GPS of theirs, it is completely off. When I go to certain stores, especially Walmart, down on Ridge Road Northeast, they always take you to the back of Walmart where the garage is. And it's just a habit of theirs. And I have to tell them, no, don't take me to the back. Take me to the front. And a lot of the drivers, just like the other day, they like to hold conversations with other people while driving me. And last Thursday, one Uber driver was actually getting ready to have a meeting while he was driving me across town. And I had to ask him to disconnect the call. You can't focus on taking me to a location when you're using your GPS, and then you're going to sit down and have a personal meeting, even though I couldn't hear what the people were saying. It's what he said to them, and he became quite upset when he had to disconnect the call. And based on the way things are out here with all of the accidents and people driving, they should not, or they should be told, they cannot hold personal conversations while they're escorting you from one location to the other. And as I said, I sat here and I listened to a lot of people say a lot of comments about certain things, but I don't believe that the Uber drivers take the rides as seriously as they should. I take Uber because right now I'm in a position where I have to do a lot during the course of the day, sometimes 3 trips, 4 trips, 5 trips. For me, it's convenience. And I do Metro Access because I'm afraid to drive because of an accident that I had several years ago. And come to find out, I had a seizure while driving, but no one got hurt. And I really appreciate Metro Access because my doctor signed me up for it because he didn't want me out there. And they have been, I mean, I can't even tell you what they have been to me, but I get done what I need to get done. And as far as the rides are concerned, as far as them contacting you, they changed. One of the things that I have noticed, and I end up calling Where's My Ride a lot, especially late in the evenings. Once you go in and open up the ride and you see it, when I go back sometimes, the ride has disappeared. And that sounds like, to me, it's one of those time rides. But as soon as I call Where's My Ride, and they send me a ride, another ride, when I go back in, the ride that I couldn't find at first, it comes up. Sometimes they will take the address away and just have a link. So you have to go in through all the links and open it up until you get to the link that you need to, you know, get your ride. And I guess that's about all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. We understand, and I'm glad it works for you, and that's the intention, and you've been one of our long-time users of the program. In terms of the independent contractor relationship.
Hello, everybody.
I hear you. I go through the same thing. I will tell you, on Friday, we had a serious accident, a death, in fact, on Mark train. So all the trains were backed up. Me and 4 other folks from the train got into an Uber, and he took us back to Baltimore. And I said, my goodness, that drive was interesting, to put it to say the least. And not talking about your folks, Kevin, but that was an adventurous ride. So we get it on the paid side. You will get it on the, if we're going to say the subsidized side. Metro has done our part to continue to encourage the drivers in this region to recognize all customers. Because again, this isn't about Metro Access customers using Uber. This is about good quality service for all customers, including those who happen to be having their trips subsidized by Metro Access. So, you continue to give me your feedback. I will continue to share it with Uber, continue to share also in these public forums. And again, my goal is to see all mainstream transportation services treat all customers, including those with disabilities, with quality, safety, and respect as their hallmarks. And we'll continue to push that message.
And I just want to, if it's okay, I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you for the comment. I appreciate it. Anytime you have a situation like that where you feel uncomfortable with the driver, or there's a situation that you are not feeling safe in, please let us know. The only way that we can change it, please let Mr. Blake know. Mr. Blake will let us know. You can go directly through the app and file a complaint as well. When that happens, we want to know. Because the only way we can help fix it and we can change those attitudes is when somebody says something outside of like an AAC meeting where we get direct feedback or feedback from Mr. Blake. So thank you for the comment. We appreciate it. And, just let us know.
Okay, thank you.
I do have a question. Sorry. So if a customer is, hold on 1 minute. If a customer, this is for the question for the Uber director. If a customer is deaf and they try to call the customer on their cell phone, they can't hear nothing. Do we have an option for text messages?
So in the Uber app, actually, and we just rolled this out not too long ago, is the ability to self-identify as either being impaired vision or hard of hearing. And so when you self-identify in the app, it actually lets the driver know, for example, if you are hard of hearing, that they're not going to call. They need to text. Also, one of those things is when the trip is being booked, it really helps if the person booking it also puts in the comments that, this user, this rider is hard of hearing or is deaf. He needs to be texted. Please do not call. Because, I use Uber all the time as well. And what's going to happen is because we have such a large pool of people that use Uber or provide service for Uber, sometimes they may just not read it. They call. It's unfortunate, but it happens. But there are ways to self-identify and let the driver know in advance that there is, something, out of the norm that you need to pay attention to make sure that that person is picked up and dropped off safely. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because yesterday, my friend who went to, me and my friend, we went together there for an event yesterday, and we put in the comment, we are deaf. What did the Uber driver do? Call us on our cell phones. And we put in right in the comments, like you said. But somehow he did not pay attention.
Yep.
And these drivers have to be paying attention to their notes. If you have a deaf customer, not to call them on the phone. They can't hear, she cannot hear. And they call her on her phone. Thank God we have an interpreter was there, answer the phone call for us to explain to them. It got to be some kind of training or education on this issue.
And Mr. Dancy, honestly, I apologize for that. It happens occasionally, but it just like I said previously, when it happens, let us know. Let Mr. Blake know. Let us know. Make the complaint, because then we can investigate on our end. And if necessary, we can prevent matching with that particular driver in the future in the Abilities Ride program, if need be. The only way we can change it is let us know. You can never let us know enough. Well, Mr. Blake might disagree, because, I reach out to him first, and I'm sure he's dealing with everybody else. But we definitely really want to know when things go well, as some people have said, Paul, gave us some really nice comments, but we want to know when things don't work. So please keep us in the loop.
Thanks so much.
Yep, no problem.
Thank you.
Yes,
Janice, go ahead.
Yes, and I respectfully take issue with the Uber driver's phraseology of out of the norm. So blind, low vision, deaf, hard of hearing people do not want to be considered out of the norm or not normal. Thank you.
And Ms. Samuel, no offense was meant by that, and I apologize if any was meant. I just meant out of what they're used to, and you're absolutely right. That should not be phrased like that, and I apologize.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Anu, can we,
Whatever you want to give
anyone
a
else
chance
need to speak before I put a motion to
Whatever
adjourn?
I'm
So moved.
not.
All right, I think we're done.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye bye.